Hello and welcome to the Date Night Movie Podcast. I am your host, Patrick Russell, and with me is my co-host, Ashley Russell.
Hi.
You know, normally this is a show where we'd be talking about a new movie that's playing in theaters, but you know, theaters are on hard times right now. They're having a rough go of it.
That's true.
Yeah, on our last episode, we talked about Tenet, and at the time, we didn't know how it was going to do at the box office. Nobody knows how anything's going to do during a pandemic. It's a completely different landscape. You know, it was the first big budget movie to kind of take a leap in theaters.
And it did not do well.
I mean, it's doing a little better overseas, but here in the States, over about like 3 weeks, it's taken in about like $36 million.
I mean, that's not even getting into it. What was it, like $200 million to make?
Yeah, I think at least. One of the most expensive original movies ever made.
I've told you this before, but if it was a better movie, I think...
That would help.
It would have... And not confusing. I mean, it was very confusing movie.
It's not the most like accessible, audience-friendly movie. Yeah. That's true. But no, I mean... Under normal circumstances, this would have been doing much better. And also, you still have, as of this recording, New York and L.A.
still haven't opened their theaters yet, right?
Yeah, so that's still a major blow. And
that just shows that, you know, outside of New York and L.A., people don't really go to the movies all that much.
Unless it's a superhero movie.
Unless it's a superhero movie, you're right. But, I mean, things in the theaters have been crap. I mean, I don't blame people for not going to the movies because the content hasn't been there in a long time.
You're talking about, like, pre-pandemic?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's really been Disney running the show. You know, with these current circumstances, it feels like audiences, clearly, they're not ready to go back to the movies.
No.
You know, and so in response to these low grosses, and what clearly seems to be a depressed market, studios, they're moving their films off the calendar. They're just bumping them off. So Wonder Woman, that's now supposed to open over Christmas. Even, like, smaller movies have been bumped. So theaters have... like virtually nothing to play for, I mean, at least another month or two. Yeah, you got James Bond, maybe over Thanksgiving at that hole. they really jumped ship when they saw how low the grosses were for Tenet. And, you know, our show, it's dependent on having theatrical releases on the calendar. So I don't even know what we're going to be talking about on our next episode after this one. Like that's, that's how in flux things are right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure things are going to shift around, but I definitely don't envy theaters during this time.
Right now is probably the safest time to go to the theaters.
Well, they're very clean, and they're clean, empty.
They're empty.
I think people are...
Everybody's wearing masks. I mean, it's all about social distance. You're not even allowed to wear a gator, a mask.
Correct. Yeah, it's got to be AMC. It's got to be standard issue, like medical style. And yeah, they'll stop you if you're not wearing the right mask. So they're strict on it. But yeah, I think there's a misconception of like what theaters are.
Yeah.
Like I think people are thinking like they're still like dirty and packed with people. And I wouldn't go into a packed theater right now, not during a pandemic, but that's not the case.
No.
Like most theaters, odds are you're going to have your pick of wherever you want to sit and there's not going to be anyone around you.
And there is, at least in the AMC that we went to, they had disinfectant wipes, like right before you go into the theater.
Going into the theater, yeah, big tub of disinfectant wipes.
And then so I took some disinfectant wipes and disinfected your seat, my seat, our like little, like...
In this empty theater. Yeah, I mean, I understand people are wary of going back to the movies, but I mean, the reality is that you got thousands of auditoriums.
Yeah.
No one's really going to the movies, so these auditoriums are empty, and they are clean.
I will say, we went to go see Broken Hearts Gallery, just wanting to get out of the house, and didn't really expect much from it, but I was pleasantly surprised. I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, it's probably one of the better movies I've seen in months. But, I mean, what is that even saying?
I know.
But no, definitely.
And it was produced by Selena Gomez.
No, definitely a good date movie.
Definitely.
If you're up for going out to the movies, you and your date, go see Broken Hearts Gallery. Yeah, you and I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, solid movie. Very entertaining. We also saw, we were going to do an episode on Mulan.
Mulan, yep. Because that was.
But then we saw it.
Yeah.
And it's terrible.
Well, no, I disagree with you. I think it's 100%.
Absolute garbage.
It's so good. The only thing I would say about Mulan is I wish that it was still a musical. It wasn't a musical in the...
Yeah, no music, no humor, no fun. It's terrible.
It's not. But what I really liked what Disney did, I mean, smart. You had to be a Disney Plus member, which you have to pay, what, $14 a month?
No, I think Disney Plus is like $7.99
$7.99, but then you have to pay for the actual movie, which was $30.
Yeah.
But you don't get to keep the movie. And I mean, if you just...
As long as you have Disney Plus, you can watch the movie. Exactly. Sure. But it's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Especially considering the movie is so terrible. It's not worth $30. It's not worth anything.
But they did it right. And I think this is how theaters, AMC, they need to get a streaming platform.
They
for
do.
New releases.
AMC has a streaming
division. Then
they
need to get on with it. And they need to get...
They're on it.
They need to get the movie theater, or they need to get the studios in their streaming platform.
Like streaming movies that are still playing in theaters?
Still playing in theaters.
Then why keep
new
theaters
releases?
Open? Why not just shut down theaters if that's what you're going
to
do?
I mean, theaters are getting ready to shut down anyways. Might as well keep AMC afloat and maybe change their business model.
The way you keep theaters open is by providing them with content that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah,
you got to go to the theater to see it. That's the whole point. And then in a couple of months, you can see it at home. That's how you keep theaters open.
Half the year, no movies were being shot. I mean, like, there is definitely going to be lack of content next year.
We're living through that lack of content. There's, like, one or two
There's
movies
playing.
There's
content out there, but the theaters aren't releasing it. Or the studios True. Aren't releasing it.
Yeah,
so
the
there's
big
content.
I was going to say the big expensive movies studios are holding, but now at this point, like, studios are holding everything, even like the mid-range movies. Like, Warner's took the first hit by throwing Tenet out there, like the first leap with a big budget movie. And now that everyone sees how depressed the grosses are and just how reluctant people are to go back, everyone's gun shy and no one wants to go next.
Well, and honestly,
and that's
I mean,
a real problem.
Going into a recession, too, people aren't going to be spending their extra cash on movies. They're going to be spending their extra cash on food.
Well, are people going to be spending their extra cash on, like, $20 movie rentals?
I mean, if they're
like
not
paying... Like this Antebellum that we watched?
So what's going to happen is they're not going to be paying for cable. They're probably going to be cutting their cable. And then they'll have...
Going with the streaming
and going
packages.
With the streaming packages. I mean, that's what we did, but we didn't do it out of necessity. We just did it because cable's crap. But we bought Antebellum, and this is the movie that we are going to be talking about.
Yeah, this was a $20 rental. This is like premium VOD.
Yep.
This was supposed to come out in theaters back in April, but instead, you know, went to premium streaming. But this could have gone to theaters because theaters are open,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, and theaters need content.
Yep.
Like, theaters have nothing. I'm sure they would have been happy to play this movie on thousands of screens. But yeah, so you can watch this at home for $20, and it currently has a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's not good at all.
No, and you know we'll keep things generally spoiler free before we take a break. But anyone who's seen the trailers can pretty easily predict what this movie's big twist is, and it's kind of like 12 Years a Slave, if it were written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
I guess so.
And this movie, it cues you right in the beginning, it like over black, before we see anything, we see a quote from William Faulkner, "The past is never dead, it's not even past."
Yeah.
So there's your clue right there. But yeah, this movie, it takes place on a Confederate plantation in Louisiana, hence the title, referring to the antebellum South.
Yeah.
And we are kind of instantly thrust right into the horrors of slavery.
Oh my God. It was, I mean...
A little rougher than I was expecting.
It's just very uncomfortable. I mean, very much like, I can't believe that...
This is America.
This is America. Or, I mean, this is how America was born.
Right. Yeah, it's upsetting stuff. And this is where we meet our main character, Eden, who's played by Janelle Monáe. And for the first 35 minutes, it's really just about like the abuse and the degradation that she and her fellow slaves are subjected to by these Confederate soldiers, one of whom is played by Jack Huston. Jenna Malone is also here as the plantation owner.
Yeah.
And we see a number of shootings, beatings, hangings, burnings. In this
branding
in this opening act, like for the first 35 minutes, it's about as like violent and disturbing as like Django Unchained or 12 Years a Slave, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it was brutal. I mean,
it's not pulling any punches.
They had a woman getting pulled by the neck on a horse.
Yes, a pregnant woman is beaten, yes, and she has a miscarriage.
Yes,
and then she's hung.
Well, she commits suicide.
Right. I guess that's mild spoiler. This is all in the first 35 minutes. We're just kind of setting the stage for the horrors of the antebellum South and just the horrors of slavery on this plantation. And to really go any further, it would be getting to spoilers. Yeah,
we need
so,
to take a break.
Yeah, so I guess just overall, what did you think of this film?
Well, I thought it took too long for the main character to fight back. I thought
it's really not until the end.
It's really not until the very, very end.
Eventually, it evolves into like an escape. There's an escape plan.
You know, honestly, I would have loved to see more or less like maybe the fight being like halfway in and she escapes, and then, you know, seeing why these people did what they did.
Well, I think in the beginning, like, isn't she reprimanded because there was an escape attempt like right at the top?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean,
she was helping people escape, yes.
Right.
Or trying to.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see her, I guess, push back a little bit in that opening act. She's really just taking abuse.
Yeah.
But.
And then she gets branded.
Right, yeah, I forgot about the branding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice branding scene.
Yeah.
Right off the top. Yeah, it's rough stuff.
I mean, it's uncomfortable, it's a good uncomfortable.
To me, it felt a little exploitative, I guess. I mean, and we can get into that in spoilers. It's a lot of it felt like it's really just kind of being played for shock value.
Yeah.
Especially when it's right off the top without any real context. I mean, you know there's some kind of twist coming, but without any real like character building, it's just scenes of abuse.
Well, yeah,
off the top, scenes of abuse right off the top.
You don't know any background story of any of these characters.
It just felt like we're kind of shoving people's faces in it a little bit. I mean, at least in 12 Years a Slave, you get a buildup before the horrors start happening. You know, it's not just like hangings and beatings right off the top. Like there is a buildup and an introduction into that world. I mean, the same with Django Unchained. But
honestly, do you think that you?
It's just weird doing this right at the top.
Uncomfortable, or you feel like it's exploitative because, I mean, you know, it's a race issue, right? Like,
I didn't feel like it was exploitative in those other two films.
Yeah,
I mean, those movies are working within a historical context.
It's true,
and they're not like going for genre. Kicks and like twists and thrills.
Yeah, I mean, this
like
is
12
not,
Years a Slave is a straight up drama.
Yeah, this is not Antebellum is not based on a true like a real story.
This movie doesn't really have a whole lot to say about slavery.
No.
So that's why like the specific scenes of violence felt a little overdone. Like you can set the stage on a plantation, you can allude to a lot of this, but if you're gonna show it, like you kind of need to earn it, I guess, with better performances, maybe.
Well, yeah, I thought
better. I mean, just better writing. I mean, we're dealing with some rough stuff, and again, you need to like, what is this movie's intent?
Yeah,
what is this movie's intent? And that, I mean, that gets into spoilers.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into spoilers for Antebellum.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, we're back, and we're going to get into spoilers for Antebellum. And so, yeah, it takes place in modern times.
Yep.
And this plantation, it's part of like a Civil War reenactment.
Reenactment Civil War for Robert E. Lee on some
kind of Louisiana Confederate ground.
Battleground or whatever.
We don't get that full reveal until, like, the very end, like, the whole Civil War reenactment. But we find out just, like, kind of, like, at the end of the first act, like, a cell phone rings.
Yeah.
It looks like she's sleeping, and then she's awoken by a cell phone ringing. And it's a flashback.
And then, yeah, and she has a flashback of her family and, like, before she got kidnapped.
And she's just a regular gal who's...
She's a not just a regular gal, but she's a gal who...
She has a platform on TV.
She has
a
platform. I mean, she's a commentator on CNN. I mean, you know...
She's speaking truth to power.
It's kind of hard to talk about it. I mean...
Because we're white?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, yeah. Well, I just say she's speaking truth to power.
She is. And, like, she's got a husband. She's got a daughter. She's got she's got a nice house.
Yeah.
There's nice restaurants. Good. I mean, she is doing well. She's got, like, an Ivy League degree. I mean, she is.
And this pisses off some people.
Yes.
It pisses off Jenna Malone's character.
Well, not Jenna Malone's character. It's her dad, who is kind of the owner of the plantation and of this whole shebang. He created this, and I think he saw her on TV and kind of fell in love with her.
Oh, yeah, and that's another thing we get in, like, the opening act. We get a rape scene.
Yes.
We get a straight-up rape scene.
Yes.
Again, like, a little exploitative. Like, what the hell is going on here? And it's a lot. So, yeah, there is a rape scene, and, yeah, that guy, he had his eye on Eden, whose real name is...
Veronica.
Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
And so he uses Jenna Malone to kind of rope her in.
Yep.
It's kind of an effective reveal when we see Jenna Malone like on the phone or in like a video chat, whatever.
Yeah.
And she looks completely different.
100% different.
That's kind of effective. I wish this movie had more surprises.
Yeah.
I mean...
I kind of knew this was going to be a twist.
Right.
It wasn't a...
That's a problem.
Yeah.
The way this movie's structured... And if you just kind of know going in, I mean, part of that is the marketing. I understand they can't market this as a straight slavery drama.
Yeah.
Because it's not that. You have to market like something else going on.
Well, it's a thriller. It's supposed to be, it's like a horror film.
Sure. A little bit of like Get Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a thriller with some social commentary. Get Out wasn't this heavy-handed, I would say. And this like aggressively on the nose.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, Get Out is not... The most subtle movie.
No, it's not.
But yeah, this movie, yeah, that's another problem I had. It felt a little heavy-handed just with how we're getting our point across.
And I thought the lead actress,
Janelle Monáe. Not great.
She did not bring...
Not great.
Any...
Nope.
...thing, in my opinion, to this. I mean...
Sure didn't.
This movie. I mean, at the end, when she was running through the reenactment, like, with her, I mean, it was comical. Like, we laughed. And that's not supposed to be a laughing moment.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be, like, a liberation moment. Like, she's free. And she just, like, you know, wants to yell.
Almost like Braveheart, like, on the battlefield. Yeah, she's not selling that.
No.
She's not selling that. I'm not sure. Like, did you like Janelle Monáe in Hidden Figures?
I did, yes.
Right.
She was awesome in that movie.
Sure. That was her like big breakout, I guess. Yeah, she's not very effective here.
Mm-mm.
There's a range of emotions required that she's not bringing to the table. She's kind of like in the same mode, whether she's being branded with a hot iron, whether she's going out looking for dick with Gabourey Sidibe, whether she's charging on the battlefield. That's a whole weird sequence where we're going out with Gabourey Sidibe. That's what I'm saying. Like, this movie's giving me some whiplash. Like, we're going from hangings and brandings and rape to just gals out on the town looking for dick. I mean...
Well, she wasn't.
It doesn't... The two tones...
Her friend was.
The two tones are not working for me.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was before and after, right? You have to get, like, that flashback in there.
But we got to make it like a Meg Ryan rom-com?
How she got kidnapped.
Well, okay, that's fine, but why are we making it like a Meg Ryan rom-com?
Yeah, I didn't like Gabourey. I didn't like...
What movie is she coming in from?
Gabourey? Is that how you pronounce her name?
Gabourey Sidibe.
And I like Gabourey.
She's great. She's precious.
But it just seems far-fetched that her and Veronica would be friends.
Like she just blew in from a Katherine Heigl romantic comedy.
Yeah, and she's like...
the wacky sidekick.
Yeah, I just, you know.
It's dumb. Especially after we saw like almost 40 minutes of like slave horror.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's going on, movie?
Like you have Veronica as very refined, and then you have Gabourey's character.
Gabourey.
We have Gabourey's character comes in and is supposed to be like the comedic relief, but it just falls flat.
Yeah, I would say we don't really need like.
I mean, she
broad comedy after watching slavery scenes.
You know what? She acted or she tried to bring out the Tiffany Haddish, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, not wrong movie.
Wrong movie.
Wrong movie.
Yeah.
But we eventually cut back to like you know the plantation. After this flashback, extended flashback scene where we see her get, like, kidnapped in a car.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, she plans her escape.
I don't know. I think her character, Janelle's character, I think she was a little jealous of Veronica, in my opinion, because her daddy loves Veronica.
You mean Jenna Malone's character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jenna Malone, she ends up getting, like, drugged by a horse.
Oh, yeah.
And slammed into, like, a Confederate monument.
I will tell you.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. A little on the nose. Like, she's, like, slammed into, like, a Confederate.
Robert E. Lee's.
Drugged by a horse into Robert E. Lee's monument.
Yes.
Like, okay. Like
head
we,
first. Like, we complete, get it. Like, conked out. And dead.
I mean, it's fun to see.
It is.
Good times.
Yeah. I mean, the payback is fun to watch.
Sure.
Because she burns people alive. She kills somebody with a sword.
Yeah, it's not as... Like, the whole revenge aspect, and that's really... That's what this is setting up, is really just like a whole revenge climax.
It was satisfying for me. I was like, finally. Like, I'm getting pissed off that, you know, she took this long to fight back.
Well, Django's kicking ass right from the beginning.
From the beginning.
In Django. Yeah. So yeah, Django's a lot better with that. And yeah, this character is not great, but she does escape. Like she's the one, she gets on horseback, she drags her dead into a monument.
Well, there's a battle, or not a battle scene, but there's a fight between the two. Like they're both on horseback. And so they're trying to shoot each other.
How does she kill her rapist? Like with a hatchet? Isn't there, like, a hatchet involved with killing the guy who wanted her?
No, they got a sword, and they put the sword in, like, the side, like a kidney or something.
Okay. I thought there was a hatchet.
There is a hatchet at involved. At one point. That's the male slave.
Okay.
Has the hatchet, and then it got took away, and then...
Does he die?
The male slave dies with the hatchet in him.
Right. Yeah, he was helping her, mm-hmm. I guess, escape... I guess it would have made sense, like, if Janelle, along with, like, her friends, were kidnapped into this plantation.
Yeah.
But in both modes, it's characters who, like, we're just getting reintroduced to.
Well, I
think... Like, there aren't any carryovers.
No, there's not. Well, the one that committed suicide, I think, went to Veronica's, like, pep talk or, like, conference.
Okay.
And that's how the girl kind of went to her and be like, you're from Virginia, right? I'm from North Carolina. And it's like, you don't talk about that.
But we don't see that girl in the flashback. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like you have this opportunity with this flashback to kind of like weave in some characters. So that's, she rides through the Civil War reenactment and it's... You know, it's all in slow motion. I mean, the movie's good looking.
Yeah.
Like, the movie's got some style.
I mean, cinematography was great.
It's a good looking movie. It's, confidently made.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, the structure is weird. And I don't think it fully comes off.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, I think I would rate this movie overall probably a C.
Sure. Yeah, I'll give it like a C+, I guess.
Yeah.
Just for the cinematography.
Just because, I mean, like, the acting wasn't that great.
It's provocative. It held my interest.
Yeah.
You know, like I wouldn't say I was really bored. Like aspects of it are a little frustrating and a little half baked, but it holds your interest and it's good looking and it's original. And these filmmakers, like two first time filmmakers. Yeah.
And it's a movie.
It's audacious.
Yeah. And it's a movie that's needed for right now. And it's all about people still wanting to be like it was in the antebellum South. and kidnapping people and slavery today. I mean, it is very provocative. It is very much a conversation starter.
Yeah. It aims to provoke
yeah.
a discussion. And is it worth seeing?
I think so. Just so, I mean.
Just to see it?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, don't expect much.
I think we're harsh critics, don't you?
This guy's a 27%.
I know.
We're harsh. I mean, 27%, that's like a D. That's yeah. like a D minus.
That's a D
I'm
minus.
Giving it like a C plus.
Yeah.
Is it a good date movie?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. Is 12 Years a Slave a good date movie?
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, this wasn't
no.
a good date.
No, I mean, 10 minutes in, it's like, nope. This is, if you're on a date, like yeah. watching this, like this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Antebellum, directed by Gerard Bush and Christopher Renz. You can find more episodes at anchor.fm/moviedatenight, as well as on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're on Twitter at DN Movie Podcast, and you can also email us at datenightmoviepodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, I don't know what the next episode will be. But it'll be something.
It'll be something.
We'll figure something out.
Maybe.
So until next time, I'm Patrick.
I'm Ashley.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.